In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsively the words of the introit. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart.
I
waited patiently for the Lord. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart.
I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. Lord, have mercy, O Lord. Lord, have mercy, O Lord.
Yeah. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all of our days, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday comes from the first book of Samuel, the third chapter. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord again called, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls to you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of our Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by any. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and also will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel, therefore, this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We will now sing the sermon hymn. Seated. The text for our meditation for this morning comes from the Old Testament lesson, 1 Samuel chapter 3, the call of Samuel. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in our sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Maybe in this text we see, you know, God actually talking to Samuel. The name Samuel in the Bible, pretty much every name means something. Apparently, if you get coffee mugs, you can see what your name means. My name, Scott, means like the wanderer or something. Somebody from Scotland, something like that. But Samuel means God hears. It's kind of backwards. Shama, Sam, Shama means to listen, to hear, and El, El is God's name. So God hears. And so in this passage, Samuel is going to actually hear God. But he was named Samuel, if you read earlier in the book of Samuel, because his mother prayed to God because she was not able to have children, and prayed to God to have a child, and God gave her Samuel. And so she named him God Hears. That's kind of a confession. A lot of times the names of people in the Bible were confessions of faith by their parents, just like the name Isaac for Abraham and Sarah means, you know, he laughs, because God had the last laugh. Sarah laughed whenever God said, you're going to have a child, but God had the last laugh. And so she had a child. So anyway, so Samuel's name means God listens. You know, here in this text, we hear of a young boy hearing voices, or basically a voice. Normally, we think of somebody who hears voices as being crazy and wonder maybe what kind of substances they've been taking. You know, personally, if I heard a voice from God audible, I mean, you know, out loud, I probably wouldn't believe it, you know, in the world, and I probably wouldn't tell anybody about it. But of course, Samuel, being a young boy, he just tells the priest Eli about it and then finds out, yes, God is actually talking to him. He wasn't crazy. He really was hearing God speak to him. Well, we don't generally, I don't think any of us ever hear voices from heaven. God does speak to us as well. We all depend upon that. Because of his great love for us, God keeps calling to us and speaking to us, even if we aren't really listening. And I know sometimes I don't listen as well as I should. The words that he speaks to us, as we are told in the book of John, are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus said. You know, my words are spirit and they are life. They are forgiveness and love, guidance and wisdom for our daily life. I don't know that we really kind of get the idea, or maybe even accept the idea, that God speaks to us in any manner of fashion. I'm not talking the loudspeaker from the clouds, but in any manner or fashion that God speaks to us. We believe that God exists, obviously. I don't think people would be here this morning if you didn't. And that, you know, God has some things to say. You know, there's a whole book. I don't have one in my hand. You know, rather thick. And people wrote it down, the book called the Bible. You know, we learn and talk about these things in church. That's kind of what church is about. You know, the things that God wants to say to us. We believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. I mean, he's even called, if you look in the book of John, chapter 1, he's called the Word of God. You know, Jesus is the Word of God, God speaking to us. You know, and Jesus has a lot to say. We can even see that in the gospel lesson. The text is a little lighter. I guess we don't use in color here. But the red print, if you look in the first four books of the New Testament, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a lot of red text in there if you have one of those Bibles that has that, because those are the very words of Christ. So he has a lot to say. Now, do we really believe, though, that God speaks to us personally? Does he have something to say to us individually? You know, I doubt that any of us have heard a voice from the heavens. I certainly have not, nor would we expect to. Nevertheless, though, God does speak to us. He desires to speak to us every day, just like he did with Samuel, if it isn't quite in the same way. God does speak to us, but we may not be very practiced at listening to him or even think about it. Now, partly we aren't aware, maybe, that he has anything to say to us on a day-to-day basis. Yeah? And maybe, I can definitely relate to this, maybe we don't really want to hear what he has to say to us on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's a common thing. Liz has some funny uncles. They're great guys. But one of them even kind of said, on what she was saying, you know, God's a busy person. He doesn't have time to deal with all the stuff that goes on in my life, or something like that. Something, you know, he goes to church. He's a good Christian all in all, but he's a little bit mistaken in that regard. Because sometimes we would kind of like that. We like God to be up there, tending to his business, running stuff, and we just kind of live our lives day by day. And if we really screw up or get ourselves in a ditch, then we can, hey, help. But otherwise, just kind of leave us alone. Let me do what I want to do, and you do what you do, and that will be cool that way. But that's not at all how God works. No, he's more actively and intimately involved in our lives like that. You know, just kind of like, I might not want my mom or dad back in the day. Kind of, actually, yeah. that was one time I was regaling my uncle, my favorite uncle when he was in town from Arizona, of all the stories that I had done as a kid, and he was laughing, and my mom walked by and she said, and he said, "Boy, you probably haven't heard any of these." And she said, "Yeah, I don't even really want to know about it." And that's kind of how we live. I ran around and did stuff, and mom and dad had no concept. If I got in big trouble, then I guess they heard about it or needed something. And that's kind of what we want from God. You know, I want to just kind of live my life and do my stuff, and you'll forgive me, and everything's great. But that's not really how God works. That's not the relationship that He wants. He actually wants to be more actively involved and has things to say about what we do. And there's this little thing called a conscience. And that's basically one of the manners in which God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit is our conscience, you know. And I can tell you, as I was running around town doing what I do, sometimes my conscience was bothering me a fair amount about some of the stuff. And, you know, so that's important part of a way that God communicates with us and listening to God. And so, you know, I've known, you know, for a long time that God speaks to me, you know, personally, either through His Word. We heard a lot of things this morning in His Word. Some of that might not be so comfortable to us. You know, He does speak that way, but I'm not always necessarily wanting to listen all that well or let it sink into my lives. But I've known for a long time that God does speak to me through His Word. And He speaks whenever I'm preaching sermons, you know. I get the sermon a lot better than you guys do because I've been through it like 5 or 8 times before I ever stand up here. But even still, you know, it doesn't always sink in real well in my life. Sometimes it takes a lot of times of hearing it before it really gets to me. You know, God's desire to speak to us and to listen to us is part of His love for us. God shows us in His Word. If you read, that's one of the great things. I read through the Bible with my sons. We're chugging our way through the Psalms right now. There's 150 of them. It takes a while. But it shows that you see the whole story of the Bible, of everything from the beginning to end. God is very persistent in speaking with His people, even when they haven't been listening to them, even when they don't want to listen to Him. That's a whole period in there in the Bible where God keeps sending His prophets and the people don't want to hear it. And of course, they do bad things to some of the prophets because they don't want to hear what God has to say. And so it must be a little bit difficult to be, okay, next man up, you're in now, you go for it. You know, it's like, you know, you don't want to hear about what happened to the guys before you. But that is what, you know, the call, and that's, of course, Jesus Himself bore that even most of all. He knew down to a point why He was coming into this world and what it would mean, you know, for Him. But that's what He came to do, is to share God's Word, to be God's Word, God's greatest message to people, both by the things He said and by the life that He lived and died for us. And so God keeps speaking to us and calling out to us, even when we haven't been listening, even when the people haven't been listening. Now, perhaps you've known people who aren't on speaking terms. You've had maybe family members, maybe you've even been one of the two parties involved with it. You know, that kind of thing does happen. You know, and that's whether it's because of anger, hurt, something that happened, you know, something that the person thought had happened, whatever. They don't listen or talk to each other. I have been on the outside of that kind of a situation, and it's very awkward. You know, how you deal with the two people, especially when if they're both in the same room at the same time and they don't talk to each other, but they talk to you. Tell so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that kind of, it doesn't just happen on TV. But anyway, God, because He wanted to be back, and of course this, in terms of humanity and God, it's a one-way thing. God's always loved people and always wants to talk to people. People, on the other hand, don't always want to listen or have anything to do with God. But because He loves people so much, He sent His Son in to restore that relationship. You know, because He has so many good and wonderful things to say to us, He wanted to get back to where we would listen to Him. You know, the death, the resurrection, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ means that God has a lot of good things to say to us, and that we can speak to Him and listen back and forth with Him as a child does with their father. That's the relationship that God wants in our life, that He offers us. The Holy Spirit, you know, that's one of the persons of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability, the ears, to hear God when He speaks to us, to listen, to believe, and to obey what He says to us, especially as you hear it in His Word. The primary way that God speaks to us is through the Word of God, the Bible, whether you hear it here in church, whether it's in a sermon, whether you're reading it at home. As a little plug, this is, what, the second Sunday in January. January is always, and probably not by now, if you had any New Year's resolutions, they're already in the trash can. But maybe as I have to admit, I don't make them all that much myself, just like I don't give things up for Lent too much. But it's just kind of what I do or don't do. But anyway, I know our pastor, he's mentioned, you know, that they had on their website a reading plan. I don't think they made it up. They just got it from this bazillion of them on the internet. But a way to read the Bible. Here's how you can read the Bible in a whole year. It's like 5 chapters a day, which isn't really all that much if you really think about it. So a person can be, you know, and whether it's a formal plan like that or something, to be in God's Word on a daily basis is a great and wonderful blessing because you're hearing what God has to say to you. And then also, as we pray, we speak back to God, trusting that He cares and listens to us and answers us. So maybe you're wondering, are you sure God really speaks to us? You know, maybe a person says, I've never really noticed God speaking to me, and I've got along just fine in my Christian life. Of course, then again, God may have a different opinion about how fine they're doing in their Christian life. As long as I know that God loves me and forgives me, what else does God really need to tell me? I'm pretty much good. You know, you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven, all right, I'm fine. I don't need to know anything else. But God's Word, if that was the case, if that's all a person really needed to know, you know, Jesus died for you, He loves you, forgives you, believe in Him, you go to heaven, how big would the Bible need to be? You can fit it on a postcard, you know, instead of an entire book of 66 books of all the things that God has been doing. You know, God's Word reveals that He's got a lot more to say to us than just that He loves and forgives us. That's the foundation. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You know, if you don't know that God loves you and forgives you, then you're just at a dead stop. But once we know that, then that's the beginning. Just like when people are baptized, whether as a baby or as an adult, that's not the end. That's the beginning of their walk with God. And so He has words and wisdom to guide us, to encourage us, to grow us, and to convict us for any situation in life. The epistle lesson for this Sunday has all kinds of words that are very relevant for people today, especially I know with the young people, but even older people too, you know, about how we live our life. And that's just one thing, just one aspect right there, one little chunk of a chapter that God tells us. But it's obvious that a lot of people need to hear these sort of things, and that's why God plants us in this world. You know, part of the way that God speaks to us is through other Christians. You know, and that's how people who don't know God, who aren't sitting in churches on Sundays, don't have Bibles, could care less about God or anything else like that, how they hear about Him and come to know God. And I have the joy of meeting people and knowing people who were not Christians. Like one of my best friends at my church, he didn't become a Christian until he was in his like 30s, you know, through his very patient and loving wife, who is a Christian. And so, you know, seeing, and that's, you know, again, God's work and God speaking in that person's life through other people. And that's what God has us in this world for. We are part of the way that God speaks to other people also. God is the Lord of our entire life, and so He has the words and wisdoms to guide us, to encourage us, to grow us, and to convict us, as I've said before. You know, I don't think any of our lives are going so perfectly, I know mine certainly isn't, that we couldn't stand to hear from our Lord. Besides, God is our Father, Jesus is our brother, the Holy Spirit is our counselor, our comforter, and He desires a personal, one-on-one, heart-to-heart relationship with every one of us. How can there be any closeness between anybody, people or us and God, without communication? Talking and listening is how you get to know people. That's how you get, you know, have a relationship with people. That's the only way it happens. Even us guys who may not be all that communicative, you know, we still do that. My buddy up in Illinois, I saw him when I went up to help my mom and my sister. Recently at Christmas time when I went up there with my family, you know, I went and spent the afternoon with him as I do every time I go up there. He's not a Christian, even though he was raised in the church. And so, but that's my chance. You know, that's how we, even though we sit and play video games and do other stuff, we still talk. We still, you know, and it's I was like, no, I thought you were going to be home by like 11, you know, whatever time, and I was at later than I thought getting home, because when we were sitting out there and I was very late, he tells me he's got diabetes, you know, and so I don't go, oh, that's sad, and get in the car and leave. No, I stay for another hour that I hadn't intended to talk with him, and that's because that's a big door that gets open when a person faces their own mortality, and so, you know, that's part of relationship, is that talking back and forth between us and God and between other people. And again, as Christians who have the Word of God in us, especially as we learn and grow in it, we are the Word of God to other people. God speaks to us, you know, God speaks to other people through us. And that's what I pray for every time. My wife jokes and somewhat grumbles because I'm not required to go into work. Sorry if I tell you this all the time, but anyway, I can't always remember who I tell what, so I just, yeah, it's like 5-minute Bob. You get it, if you've ever seen the Grant, that movie, I don't even remember what movie that was, but anyway, he was, you know, always seen, repeated the same thing over and over every 5 minutes if you talk to him. But anyway, you know, when I go into work, which I don't even have to do, I work from home, but it's basically to eat lunch with my work buddies who are, you know, about my age. The only people that come into work are people over 30 or 40 years old. Anyway, and so that's what, yeah, that's just the truth of it. But anyway, I go in, I have lunch with them, but I pray every time I do beforehand, you know, because none of them are church. None of them are, they may have been raised in the church, but yeah, they are or not. But I pray that I would be God's word to them and that I would share God's love with them. I don't sit there and talk about that right in the middle of the meal or anything like that, but that God would open the doors to have those kind of... But I build relationships with them because I like them as friends, but also because I care about them as people. And that is, again, part of being of God speaking through us, through other people. I know it's hard for us to understand how God, who we cannot see, hear, feel, can have a personal relationship with us and speak to us. We can understand from loudspeaker from heaven, but that's never happened to me, and I don't think it happens to anybody else. You know, but God does speak to us individually, primarily again through the Word of God, and that's always the touchstone that we go to. You know, if a person, you know, because one of the pastors I know jokes, yeah, that's not really a joke, but it is a story anyway of a guy he had in his office who said to him, you know, Pastor, God's telling me to marry this person. And the pastor says, I know God is not telling you that because you are already married to somebody else. You know, it's kind of a joke, but yet also kind of not funny. But people, you know, kind of, you know, God's telling me to do this. Well, no. There's the definitive Word of God that we definitely rely upon that says, no, that's not right. And so I may kind of, well, God's maybe telling me to do this or that. Well, boom, I got the Word of God that tells me whether that's really true or not or whether that's right or not. You know, and as human beings, we can rationalize and then project that, you know, on the, maybe God's telling me this, but no, that's not true. No, you know, God speaks to us through the Word, through His Scriptures, first and foremost, as often, whether it's, again, read to you in church, whether you read it on your own, you hear it in sermons based on God's Word, that is the primary way that God speaks to us. And I can definitely relate to that in my own life as I read the Bible each day. You know, how God, you know, it's all good to read, but sometimes something really pinches me. And it's like, you know, that's really God, you know, telling me, or something God's really comforting me about, you know, that I really need to hear. It's not always God getting on me about something I'm doing or not doing. Sometimes it's something I just really need to hear to give me encouragement in my day-to-day life. But that's the importance of being in God's Word. And that, you know, each day, or at least each week, anyway. And if a person's not, you're really missing out on your communication with God. If you don't, in some way, whether you listen to preachers on the radio or whatever it is, some way to be in God's Word. Listening to God involves waiting and trusting. He does not always give answers in a snap. God's faster than we can ever think of, but God does not live by the microwave world that we live in. We can get impatient. It takes me 30 seconds to get a meal. That's terrible. You know, whereas back in the day, it'd take a couple hours for somebody to cook a meal. But that's how we kind of are as people. We want answers fast. We want it fast or forget it. But God doesn't play that game. As a matter of fact, God's big on waiting. As a matter of fact, that's a theme. Again, you're reading and knowing God's Word, you see themes that go through. Waiting is a God, you know, again, a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day to God. God's not in time. Time, you know, He's not bound by it in any way at all. And so he has no problem making us wait, because sometimes that's what we need. You know, we need to wait and get and wait on him and trust in him. Other times he can be as fast as anything, but you know, that's part of what, you know, the communication of God. We, you know, that's why we, you know, that's one of the things we do. We every night we, as a family, pray for him. We'll ask, oh, who do you pray for? And so, and then night after night we'll be praying for somebody, and then, you know, okay, we get, you know, word that, hey, they got better or whatever. And so we mention that in the prayer and to each other so that we know. And some people even keep journals. I have to admit I don't do that, but then, because then you can see, I prayed for this guy for 3 months, and now, you know, this and that half finally happened, you know, because God does have his timetable. He does do what he does, but it's not according to our quick snap of the fingers time. You know, if we do wait, and if we will put in the long work, he does use various things, circumstances, different things to speak to us, to guide us, to show his will, his answer to us. He also speaks through the Holy Spirit, placing certain desires or insights into our hearts as we go through our day. If we are unsure, again, we can always test them out according to the Word of God. And God also speaks to us through other Christians. That's why it's important to have Christian fellowship, whether it's people in this church or other Christians you know outside the church, having godly people in your life. As I've probably mentioned before, I had a dear friend that him and his wife were having difficulties in their marriage. And I was up in North. I didn't even know about this till it was all. And they ended up getting divorced because he went and talked to his buds who were not Christians, and she went and talked to her girlfriends, and they didn't get any godly counsel in that situation, in a very sad situation. But that's just real life. You know, so we can always have people that can pull us down, people that, you know, aren't godly and will give us bad advice if we listen to them. But it's better if we have people that that bring us a godly perspective, even and especially if it's not what we want to hear. That's when we need it the most. You know, when I'm going through a painful situation, yeah, hearing, man, she's not treating you right. You get out of there. You know, that's the world's way. That's the devil's way. You know, but to have somebody say, you need to really be praying about this. You need to get, you know, whatever the case may be. Having godly people in our lives that can bust us when we need it, you know, can kind of say, hey, you know, whatever you're doing is not right, or you need to really consider this. So take some time. It's good to have that. That's one role that pastors fill. I know y'all don't really have a pastor. You have preachers that come in. You know, that's why I don't even tell people that I'm a pastor, because I'm not. These days I'm a preacher. I come in, I preach a sermon. To be a pastor means you're shepherding a flock. You're involved in their life. You know, to some degree, to the degree that people will let you. You know, kind of what's going on in their lives. You know, that was they talk about God speaking through you. I remember more than one time, I don't even know how many times over, you know, the years, somebody would say, after, you know, I'm shaking hands after preaching, you've been reading my mail? You know, kind of like, you know, because God put something in the sermon that really meant something to him, that really did something to him. I didn't know. I had no idea. But that's the humbling thing about preaching sermons, is it is not my words, it's God's words. And to be prayerfully, you know, working through it so that God will give people what they need to hear. But that's having godly elders, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be, you know, men. It can be anybody that's a godly person that can help us to be a sounding board, to be, you know, God's word in our life in that way. And for us, you know, again, that's another first, you know, as Christians, we don't have like a board of rules that we live by. Some religions, you know, if you do this, you got to do this, you got to do, you know, all the things that we talk about, again, like reading the Bible. It's not a checkbox. Well, I read my chapter of the Bible today. I guess I did enough. It's like I fill myself, you know, I grow in my relationship to God so I can be a blessing to other people, whether it's my children, my wife, my friends, whatever. And so, and then again, desiring to have those people in our lives as well. So that's a good source of guidance in our life, is to have godly Christian people that we can talk to. It's like, I'm really having a problem with this, or I don't know what to do about this. You know, like the friend I was with, my church buddy, I was talking to him, you know, just 2 days ago, because he was, you know, he's a manager of a chemical plant, and he said, yeah, I just found, you know, I've just let people know that the plant's going to be closing in a year. I had known for like 8 months that it's been going to close, but they told me not. Anyway, the point of it being was he had a difficult situation. He knew something that he was not supposed to tell anybody, and so, as a matter of fact, he had recruiters calling him and saying, "Hey, we've got a job," and he would just kind of tell them, "I can't. I'm not interested right now," because he did not feel it was right for him to have his golden parachute all set up when all kinds of other people that worked with had no clue what was coming. So now that it's going to be revealed, now he can go, get on. But that's just an example of having that godly people in your life, because it's like, yeah, that's right, that is, he could take advantage of what he knew, but he didn't. He walked with the Lord, he trusted God to do the right thing, even though it was disadvantageous to him. So, believe me, the Lord speaks to you, and it's not just hearing voices. Hopefully you're not hearing voices in the air, he spoke to you at your baptism. This is my child whom I love, just like he said to Jesus, with whom I'm well pleased. He speaks to you in the Lord's Supper when he says, "This is my body and blood shed for you for the forgiveness of me." That's God speaking to you. It's a nice little thing we do, a little wafer, a little wine, but it's what God says in it that makes it the big deal. God's speaking to us in that. He's speaking to you now in this sermon as God's word is shared to you. And in many other ways in your life, he speaks to you. The only question is, and I'm asking myself, are we listening? Are we paying attention? I pray that we would make every attempt, every effort to listen whenever our Lord speaks to us. Especially that we would look for every opportunity to hear his voice, especially by being in his word daily, weekly. It's a sign of God's love and mercy towards us that he speaks to us at all, that he has anything to say to us, and that the words that he speaks to us, they feed us, strengthen us, encourage us, and give us wisdom for leading our lives. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding through his word, guard and keep our hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We bow our heads for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, put a new song in our mouths. Lead us out of all deceit and into the confidence of your truth. Let us proclaim your wondrous deeds of faithfulness and salvation in Christ without fear or hesitancy. Lord, in your mercy, King of Israel, you once called Samuel, Philip, and Nathanael into your service. Be pleased now to call men into your holy ministry. Give them a delight in your holy scriptures, that their witness may lead many to follow Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you call fathers, mothers, and children to serve in their households. Let them serve eagerly, each according to their station, trusting that such love honors you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, let all the nations and peoples of the earth ascribe to you the glory due your name. Hear our prayers for all rulers and leaders, especially for Joseph, our president, and Greg, our governor, together with all legislators and judges. Direct them by your word and spirit and establish them in saving faith. Lead them in their offices to govern wisely for the good of their people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, behold in mercy all for whom we pray, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galavias, Mary and Alfred Durson, Cynthia Schulton, Cassidy and her twin babies, Rhea and Emerson, Carl Raunch, Dean and Sue Saberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Don and Donna Tolner, and Ron Samaestra. We ask that you would bring comfort, healing, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness. In every sorrow and every joy, do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of your kindness in Jesus Christ, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom all nations may find unity and life. Hear the prayers of your people and grant what is needful to us and those for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and heart that our hearts may find perfect peace and rest through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble and hearty thanks for all the goodness and loving kindness that you bestow on us. We praise you for our creation, preservation, and the blessings of this life. But above all, we bless you for your boundless love and the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. We implore you to give us a right understanding of all your mercies, that our hearts may be deeply thankful, and that we may show forth your praise with both our lips and our lives. Direct our lives in the ways of holiness and righteousness all our days, that we may enjoy the testimony of a good conscience and the hope of your favor. Be sustained and comforted in every time of trouble, and finally be received into your everlasting kingdom through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.